A New South Wales inquiry, which will determine whether Crown Resort should be able to keep its casino licence, will resume in Sydney today. The New South Wales Liquor and Gaming Authority launched the investigation after James Packer announced last year he was selling a 20% stake in Crown to the Hong Kong-based casino giant Melco. RN Senior Business Correspondent Cheryl Bagwell joins me now. Hello, Cheryl.
Good morning, Fran.
So, Cheryl, today the first public hearings into the probity of this share sale will get underway, except this deal's no longer going ahead, is it?
Well, that's right. Earlier this month, the billionaire Lawrence Ho, who controls Melco, pulled out of the purchase of the second tranche, at least, of the Packer stake. That would have given him 20% of Crown, as you said, and a board seat and a platform to launch a full takeover. Now, he cited the impact of the coronavirus on his casinos in Macau. They've effectively been shut down by the authorities there for his decision not to go ahead with this deal. But, you know, you have to wonder whether Lawrence Ho's decision to scupper the share purchase right now or earlier this month might also have something to do with this inquiry, his desire to avoid regulatory scrutiny, because this is just the first of three government inquiries that will look into this deal. The New South Wales inquiry that resumes today was launched because of a clause in Crown's licence in New South Wales, not previously known about, that this is the licence for the casino being built at Barangaroo at the moment. It forbid any involvement of Lawrence Ho's father, Stanley Ho, in Crown. It's been alleged, long been alleged, that Stanley Ho, who actually is now 98, has links to Asian crime syndicates, although his son says his father has nothing to do with his Melco business these days. But then there's a business called Great Respect, Fran. It's registered in the tax haven of the British Virgin Islands. It holds 20% of Melco, and the ownership of that is opaque, to say the least. Mm. Meanwhile, we have to, you know, Lawrence Ho still owns 10% of Crown. He bought that first tranche of shares from Packer last year, although he's now reportedly trying to find a buyer for those shares. But for the time being, he remains a Crown shareholder, which means he won't escape scrutiny from this inquiry. He's likely to be called to give evidence along with James Packer and former Crown Chairman John Alexander.
Okay, and the share deal is not the only issue being investigated by this inquiry. What else is on the table?
Well, it's also going to be looking into some serious allegations about Crown's use of these controversial junket operators who are hired to bring in high roller gamblers from China to Crown in Melbourne. Last year, the nine-owned newspapers, The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald, revealed links between these junket operators and organised crime in Asia, as well as money laundering and drug trafficking. Professor Charles Livingston conducts gambling research at Monash University. He's a high-profile anti-gambling campaigner, of course. He says these allegations are serious, and I spoke to him earlier.
Crown has been accused that it's received large sums of cash, like significant sums in the millions of dollars worth of cash, without properly accounting for them and without necessarily reporting them under their obligations to AUSTRAC. Now, you know, these are allegations, I stress that. But that they've also breached the laws around responsible provision of gambling and that they are associated with entities which actively recruit people with dubious backgrounds, criminal records and so forth from overseas to gamble at Crown, and the suspicion immediately arises, therefore, that the money involved is being laundered through the casino processes.
The inquiry is expected to call James Packer, John Alexander, the former Crown Executive Chair, but also Lawrence Ho, to give evidence. We don't often hear from casino bosses in a public forum, do we?
No, they tend to like to be in the background and to keep their business very much their own. But it's rare that we get this opportunity to see such characters examined in detail, and I expect that the inquiry is likely to produce several more interesting bits of intelligence about the casino world before it's finished.
So that's Associate Professor Charles Livingston of Monash University. So as he says, a lot at stake in this inquiry. Crown, in theory, could lose its license to operate a casino at Barangaroo if it doesn't satisfy the regulator. It's done all it could to keep its business clean. The reputational damage has already helped drive down Crown's profit by 34% in the 6 months to December, and now it has to contend with the coronavirus, which has seen off basically all of the high roller business from Asia in the first 2 months of this year.
Well, that's right. And talking of the coronavirus, Cheryl, the Chinese economy has been in partial lockdown now for 3 weeks. But Australian companies and investors seem to be remaining relatively calm about the impact on their profits. Why is that?
Well, one big reason, Fran, the falling Australian dollar. It's gone from 70 US cents at the start of the year to under 66 US cents this morning. So it's acting as a big shock absorber for companies hit by the China lockdown. For example, every time BHP sells a tonne of iron ore to China, it's currently selling it for about 90 US dollars a tonne at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's getting at least 5% more than it expected at the start of the year when it brings that cash back to Australia and converts it into the local currency. So that's good news while BHP is able to sell iron ore to China. And so far, those shipments haven't been disrupted in a major way by the coronavirus, the company says. Of course, it's not all smooth sailing for tourism and leisure companies. Ardent Leisure, for example, Village Roadshow, both of which operate theme parks on the Gold Coast, all favourites of Chinese tourists. They've taken a big hit to their profits at the moment. Of course, Crown, which has seen its Asian high roller business plummet. But they and investors are just looking, trying to look at the moment to the silver lining, the low dollar, which could go even lower if the RBA decides to cut interest rates next month in response to those weak employment figures we got last week, and the hope that the spread of the virus will soon be contained and business will get back to normal.
So when do you think companies could start hitting the panic button if that doesn't go as you've just described?
I'd say the end of March, early April, Fran, they will be starting to hit the panic button. If the virus is still disrupting the Chinese economy in a major way by then this is going to hurt even the most stoic of Australian companies doing business with China. There are signs the Chinese economy is restarting again. We're getting reports that Chinese office workers are now returning to work. Mm-hmm. We've been hearing the virus is spreading beyond China, but it does appear to be slowing in its epicenter of Hubei province. Now, China might start taking the view that this is the rest of the world's problem now, not just China's, and that might give them the green light to reopen the economy in the coming weeks, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, well, they'll be keen to get it going, that's for sure, given the hit in growth. Mm. So, Cheryl, finally, what's the expectation for our share market today?
Well, a very soft start expected today as the news on the coronavirus containment outside of China turns bad. Futures trading has the market here opening 47 points or 0.6% lower. The corporate reporting season wraps up this week. We've got BlueScope reporting today, Woolworths on Wednesday, and Rio Tinto on Thursday. That's another thing boosting sentiment in the market at the moment. The big miners are returning massive amounts of their profits to shareholders this half via dividends, and it's hoped Rio will do the same this week. Meanwhile, the dollar has fallen once again. As I said this morning, it's down to 65.9 US cents.
Right.
And in more bad news for overseas travellers, I'm afraid, it's also down against the euro. The Aussie is only buying 60.8 euro cents. So that's down again, and 50.8 British pence. So hopefully our listeners aren't going overseas this morning.
I'm sure some of them will be. But Cheryl, thank you anyway.
Thank you.
Cheryl Bagwell, our senior business correspondent.